Welcome to Redemption Fellowship, where our mission is to empower people for life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon.
Exodus chapter 8, verse 9, and the A clause of verse 10. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Tomorrow. And I want to preach today from the title, Just One More Night with My Frogs. You may be seated. Just one more night with my frogs. Now, this title is not original to me. It's been titled several other things, very similar. But I couldn't come up with anything better. So I'm flowing with it. Just one more night with my frogs. Anybody in here, you got any frogs? Pests gnawing at you, eating away at you, just always causing trouble. And yet a solution is given. And in the face of the solution, you say, one more night, just one more night with my frogs. On May 9th, 1902, 30,000 indentured slaves lost their lives in what one of the world's most horrible natural disasters. The immediate cause of their death was a vicious volcanic eruption on the island of Mount Pelee, on the French colonial island of Martinique. But the secondary cause of their death was the result of human delay, human procrastination, human greed, and political opportunist, and I have to add, human stupidity. For you see, all of these French colonial islands, including the island of St. Pierre, were all inhabited with indentured slaves. Their term of slavery was better than here in America, for they could work for 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, they could purchase land and homestead that land. But this volcano began to erupt a full week before its final eruption, kind of giving off warning signals that the big one was on the way. And it wasn't really like Fred Sanford, I'm having the big one, I'm having the big one, and it never happens. But it when it began to slowly and just minutely erupt, it sent millions of tons of rocks, hot boiling lava, and a burst of air, hot, heated air, down to the town of St. Pierre and killing everybody who worked in the farmers and in that town. But when the big one struck, just a handful of authorized officials made an effort to evacuate the towns that were inhabited by indentured slaves that lie right at the foot of the volcano. And because of their delay and procrastination, over 30,000 slaves perished. Now, you squeeze that scenario into our text. God is about to hit Egypt with 10 different plagues. And the plague in our text today is the second plague, and it is the plague of frogs. And in each plague, it reveals how God is metaphorically in a duel between all of the idol gods of Egypt against the God Jehovah of Israel. And it is in these plagues that God is going to not only show Pharaoh who he is, but he's also going to teach Moses and Aaron, the Egyptians, and more specifically the Israelites, that I alone am God. Now, don't miss that, because this becomes very important for them, that once they are finally delivered and they are out there in their wilderness and things don't come easy, they're going to have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is God. It's just like many of us. We kind of repeat over and over again the sins and the mistakes of the Israelites. They know that it was God who sent Moses after 450 years of slavery in Egypt. God tell Moses, say, look, I have heard the cries of my people. And God says, I am come down. Now, church, I don't know if you ever thought about that statement, but when the God of glory says, I am come down, I can't explain it, but let me take a stab. He can sit on the throne and come down and be where you are, but at the same time, simultaneously still be on the throne. But you are important enough for him to say, I'm going to leave the throne of glory and I'm coming right where you are. And when I arrive, I ain't coming for no show. I ain't coming just to prove that I can kind of perform some type of out of this world extraordinary magic trick. But I'm coming to handle business. And that which I have set that's going to be in motion, when I get there, it will come to fruition. And here God is telling Moses to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know what happened when they got out in the wilderness. We rather go back to the leeks and the garlics and making bricks without straw. Because at least while we were slaves, we had food to eat, we had houses to live in, and we had water to drink. Now, we had to ask to eat the food, and we had to ask to take the break to get the water. But now that they are free, they understand that freedom is not free, that freedom costs you something, because the oppressor would never set you free in and of himself. You have to demand your right that God has given to you to be free. And so God set up these 10 plagues to teach Pharaoh, the Egyptians, Moses, Aaron, and his people that I alone am God. These frogs begin to infiltrate the land. And right in the middle of this saga is the man named Pharaoh. And this cat does something that's, it struck me rather strange. You all, the frogs are everywhere. Everywhere. You read the text. Ladies, if you went and opened your stove to bake in your oven, you couldn't put nothing in the oven. The frogs were there. If you went to get in your shower, you couldn't even get in the bathtub because the frogs were there. You couldn't get in your bed to lay down, to go to sleep, because the frogs were there. And it didn't make any sense to go outside because the frogs were there. But yet, God sends his messenger to Pharaoh and say, I'm going to leave it up to your honor to set the time for me to pray for you so that the frogs can leave the land of Egypt. And he says, tomorrow. give me one more night with that very thing that I've been whining, crying, complaining. I've been complaining about it so long that everybody knows what I'm going to complain about before I start complaining. But just let me have one more night. Now, come on, y'all. A frog is a frog is a frog. What difference is one more night with your frog going to make? This is what Pharaoh says. Tomorrow. Now, let's unpack this text. The first thing in verses 1 through 7 is this is a despicable disaster. The text says, the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I'm going to send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile would teem with frogs. They would come up into your palace and in your bedroom and into your bed and your houses of your officials and your people and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs would come on you and your people and all of your officials. I guess Moses had to repeat that because Pharaoh probably didn't believe it was going to happen. Then the Lord says to Moses, tell Aaron to stretch out your hand with the staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up into the land. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things. By the secret arts, they also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summons Moses and say, pray to the Lord that he take the frogs away from me and my people. This is a despicable disaster. When I first looked at this plague of frogs, I kind of thought it strange that God would use such detestable, despicable, weak, slimy creatures to engage in his army through which he fight this battle with Pharaoh and his gods. This second plague is a direct attack on Pharaoh's goddess Hecate, the goddess of frogs. Her body is depicted as a woman's body, but she has the head of a frog. I don't care what a body looked like, with a head like that, it's got to be ugly. And she is believed to be the goddess to breathe life from her nostrils into human beings. You get the parallel? God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. But she's believed to breathe from her nostrils breath into human beings, and they become living souls who are, by the way, created by her husband, Khnum, the goddess, the god of creation and water. And God tells Moses to instruct Aaron to stretch out that rod that's in his hand over the Nile, and then the Nile begin to teem with frogs. I said, Lord, why frogs? God could have used any creature that he wanted to. And the point is this, is that whenever you become the enemy of the God of hosts, even the most despicable creature becomes very powerful in the service of Almighty God. God is the same one we know that created the elephant, but he also created the ant. And so the smallest of creature is powerful in God's army, just as the largest of creature. But God used despicable frogs to reduce Pharaoh down from his haughty power to let him know that I alone am God. I don't care how much these people call you Lord. There is nothing in your kingdom, no one or no thing that is not at my beckoning call. All I got to do is whisper a word and everything will bow down to my name, Pharaoh. I am God. And he used despicable frogs to break him down. But there's something else that God is after with Pharaoh. I believe that God is ripping away at Pharaoh's pride. Can you imagine the embarrassment that this haughty monarch is dealing with? Frogs everywhere. And there really isn't anything that he can do about it. Now, you know good and well that the people are talking about him. You know they're talking about, they're not going to say it to his face, but you know they're talking about him. And they are looking to him, their leader, to provide some type of solution to this despicable disaster that is taking place in their houses, in their fields, in their streets, and throughout their country. Listen, church, there is no place where there are not frogs. And even if Pharaoh called on his chariots and his horsemen, there wouldn't be a thing that Pharaoh could do. Now, if you see what God could do with slimy frogs, and the Lord comes to you and he says, I want you to stop doing this and that. And if you stop, I'll remove the frogs from your life. What would keep you from relinquishing your frogs? Other than your pride. You see, Pharaoh has been enslaved by his pride. And now his pride will not let him go. It has him hell bound. He's captured by it. He really wants to let go, but then there's something about him that says, I will not give in to Moses, and I definitely won't give in to this God in whom I don't believe. He won't do it. But God has a way of breaking you down. Oh yeah, he has a way of breaking you down. But there come moments in our lives that you and I become enslaved by our pride. We have stuff that's gnawing at us, that's eating away at us, and we don't want to tell nobody because our pride is too strong that I don't want them to know what I'm going through. And inside, you're just as miserable. Miserable as you can be. And the Lord said, I keep sending you warning signs. If you just let this go and let that go, I remove the pride. And you too, me too, like Moses. God says, when you want it done? Tomorrow. Let me have one more night, Lord, with this thing that's eating away at me, with this thing that won't allow me to rest peacefully, with this thing that just won't allow me to enjoy life. Just let me have one more night. One more night with it. Somebody once said, that which controls your mind controls your actions. Have you all seen the movie Denzel and Forrest Whitaker played in called The Great Debate? Denzel is placed as Professor Mel Tolson, and he teaches at Wiley College, and he has four black students that he's trying to teach them how to win a war with words so that they can gain the respect that was always denied to them during the 1930s. And as he's instructing, he's telling his students that the first step to gaining your freedom and the respect is to step up to the debate. Use the words, because the words are powerful. They will let people know what you're thinking, and also it gives you a sense of direction of where you're going. And one of his students said, Professor Tolson, why are you so passionate about us having the respect that's due us? What is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you trying to get us to involve ourselves in these debates? And he asked them a question. He says, any of you know Willie Lynch? They didn't know. They had never heard of Willie Lynch. That's why, y'all, I know slavery is a long, long way from us, but you need to read your history. Amen. Yeah, you do. You really need to read your history. Because they could come at you, pretty much get the same effect. They're just playing in different games nowadays. Amen. But when you know your history, you can't be hoodwinked and bamboozled. He says, you know Willie Lynch? Nobody knew Willie Lynch. You say Willie Lynch was a vicious slave owner. And the Virginia colonies were having problems keeping their slaves under control. And so they brought in Willie Lynch and said, teach us your method. And it says, Willie Lynch said, it's real simple. Keep their bodies physically strong, but keep them mentally and psychologically dependent upon the master. In other words, keep their bodies, steal their minds. And Denzel said, me and every other professor in this college, we're after helping you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. And what I hear Denzel saying is that a righteous mind, it's the greatest defense against anyone or anything that is seeking to enslave you. I know now why Jesus said that there must be a renewing of your mind. Because when your mind is right, people can't treat you any kind of way. No. When your mind is right, they can't come with their little philosophy and their consciousness and then try to prescribe it upon you when your mind is right. You not only know who you are, but you understand whose you are. When your mind is right, you understand that you are created in the image and the likeness of God, and you have value in your life, and you don't let nobody just completely disrespect you for what God has made you to be. But you got to have your mind right. Pharaoh, for years, have stripped God's people of their God-given right to think and to act the way God would have them to act. And now God says, I have heard their cries, and I've come down to do something about it. And the second plague he's seeing are these despicable frogs all in the palace. Pharaoh has the same problem that everybody else has. He can't go in his little chapel to pray because the frogs are there. He can't lay down and rest either. You remember what it said. It's not only in the bedrooms, but they're in his bed. I don't know how they're eating anything. Probably if they seen swamp people, they'd have cooked up some grease and made up some frog legs. But they're everywhere. It's a despicable disaster. But then, when given the perfect opportunity, Pharaoh makes a cataclysmic decision. Look at verses 8 first clause of 10. Pharaoh says, I'm a summons Moses and Aaron. And this is what he said. Pray to the Lord to take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I will leave it to your honor to set the time for me to pray, for you, your officials, and for your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials, and your people, and they will remain only in the Nile. When do you want this done, Pharaoh? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Church, we're setting ourselves up for a cataclysmic episode. Whenever God presents us with the perfect opportunity to walk away from whatever it is that's been holding us bound, and we float around with it and say, Lord, just give me one more day. One more day. Frogs are everywhere. They're not just in a few places. They are everywhere. And God could have used birds of prey. He could have used poisonous snakes. He could have used wolves. He could have used lions or tigers. He could have sent something on the land that were going to kill the people. At least the frogs weren't killing anybody. But yet they were a pest. They were a pest. You got anything in your life that's really keeping you from having that relationship with God that you really want to have? You know what it is. You have any circumstance or any situation going on that it's not taking you down the path where you know God wants you to go? You have anything that's just bugging you and it just stays on your mind and gnawing at your consciousness and it just will not let you go no matter how hard you try? And yet God says, I have the answer. I can move it anytime I want to move it, but you tell me when you want it gone. And yet you say, give me one more day. Just one more day. Lord, I understand I've been crying to you about this. I understand I've been complaining to you about this. I know I've been whining to you about this, but can I have it just one more day? What difference is a day going to make? I got to say it again. A frog is a frog. It's just a frog. And that thing that's been pestering you, you mean to tell me you think overnight it's going to get better? And it hadn't gotten better in the last 2 or 3 years? You think just because you go to sleep tonight, you're going to wake up in the morning and then it's going to be just magically gone? I believe that's what Pharaoh was thinking. That somehow these frogs would just disappear, and therefore I'm not obligated to Moses, nor am I obligated to his God. I tell you what, let me have them one more night. Pharaoh evidently think this is just some type of magic trick, because he called his magicians and said, man, you haven't done anything. I got some people who can do that, but that's stupid. They come and they do the same thing Aaron does, and guess what happened? Here comes some more frogs. They just multiply. And that's how it is with some of us sometimes. When things are not going the way that they ought to be going in our lives, we go and seek people, advice from people who got way more junk going on than what we got. And you look around, your stuff ain't getting no better. Truth be told, it's just a little worse. Moses comes to Pharaoh. And someone let you have the honor. Now, Moses is not, he's not honoring Pharaoh. He's not honoring Pharaoh as if, you know what, I know you are the Pharaoh. Because of the position you hold, and the title that you have, and the power that you have, just say when, What Moses is saying to him, I'm going to leave it up to your honor. And the reason I'm going to do that is because the God that I pray to is so powerful that once I pray to him, right then and there, he's going to take it away. Right then and there. But I'm going to leave it up to you. And what God is after, and what God is trying to say is that when God means for justice to take place, he don't mean for it to happen later. He means for it to happen now. Now. When God calls for you and I to make a commitment to him, I mean to be totally whole soul out, wholeheartedly committed to him, he don't mean, well, God, I'm going to do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. No. He wants it now. And yet there are times that we float around with our frogs. I begin to look, I say, now, Is Pharaoh fascinated with his newly found guest? You mean to tell me that he's fallen so deeply in love with these frogs that he just wants to spend one more night with them? What is it about those things that we know pester us and hinders us and keep us from being all that God wants to be? And for some reason or another, we just want to hang on to it. For when the God of the universe, the one who said, I am come down to deliver my people, when he says, I'm going to leave it up to you, and whatever you say, it shall be done. Why would you say tomorrow? You ought to be saying, God, do it right now. Do it now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it now. This thing might destroy me in the middle of the night. Take it now. What God is demanding from Pharaoh, although God is the one that keeps teasing at Pharaoh's heart and making him come back hard again, it's God got him like a puppet on a string. And I believe these frogs somehow entices Pharaoh to understand that there is something to this God that Moses is talking about. Because for the first time, Pharaoh acknowledges God. And I guess when things get hard enough, even for people who've never called on God, they're called on God then. Pharaoh, when do you want me to take him? Take him tomorrow. There's another scene in that movie, The Great Debate, where these debaters, Denzel has taught them now, and they get a chance to go to this white school and they begin to debate. And the rebuttal is over segregated higher education. And this young student named Samantha, she's heard enough. She stands up and she takes the podium and she says, as long as schools are separated, Negroes will continue to receive an education that is both separate and unequal. And she says, my component wants to say that now is not the time for us to attend the same schools and to sit at the same classrooms and to walk down the same hallways and to study from the same books and to receive the same instructions. Well, I need to know that when is the time? She says, next week? A month from now? 50 years from now? 100 years from now? Or never? She say, no, now is the time. She says, now is the time for equality. Now is the time for integration. Now is the time for us to be able to have the freedom and the respect that we can learn just as equally as you learn now, because it's always, always now is the time to do justice. And church, there are moments that God presents us with opportunities for him to rid us of our stuff. Now is the time. Don't float around with tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, I've been blessed to do a lot of counseling. But for the likes of me, I just don't understand how people can come this month, next month, 5 months, and dealing with the same stuff. Now, most of the time, it's only one answer. It's only one answer. And I got some that can, you know what, didn't we talk about this 3 months ago? Yeah, Pastor. And didn't I tell you the solution then? Yeah, Pastor, well, did you do it? Yeah, tomorrow. And y'all know the saying, if you keep doing the same old thing, you're going to keep receiving what you're getting, because it is absolutely insane to think that you're going to receive something different. And the Lord is saying to us, listen, people, you're my children. I love you. I have your destiny planned for you. Don't you understand that the things that you're holding on to, it's not helping you go where I want you to go. It's not helping you be all that I want you to be. It is not helping you fulfill the things in your life that I have ordained and destined for your life. When are you going to let them go? And you still say to God, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Sometimes I think, I'm glad we're not God. Because I was sitting on that throne and you'd be praying to me and I done asked you this. I asked you this last year, when you want a gun, and you say tomorrow. Here it is a year later, you bringing that thing back to me. I'm going to say to you, tomorrow. Tomorrow. He makes a catastrophic decision. Because he just refused to listen to Moses, and he refused to obey God. Yeah. Listen here, church. Moses is not the one who's saying, let my people go. Moses saw a strange bush burning. Now, I don't care what you say. If you see a bush on fire, and that bush is not burning up, as nosy as we are in this generation, we're going to check that out. And when Moses got to that bush, the Lord said, take off your shoes, because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. Moses thought he was going to check out of sight, but God had a conversation in mind for Moses. And then when Moses told God, I heard the cries of my people, and guess what? I'm sending you to tell Pharaoh to let them go. Wait a minute, God. I can't talk, man. And the Lord says, what you think? I don't know that. I'm not concerned about your inability to talk, Moses. All I want is your availability. My mission ain't dependent on you, man. All I want to know is that you'll be a tool to which I'll use. When you open your mouth, I'll speak for you. And so there are times that you and I too, that when God says, I'm ready to deliver you, how bad do you want your deliverance? Huh? How bad you want it? Because you do know it's going to cost you something. Huh? Y'all realize that, right? The only thing that you and I got free is salvation, and Jesus paid it all then. But there are some things that's going to cost us something. You see, Pharaoh has become enslaved to his pride. And if you don't mess around, pride will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll cost you way more than you are willing to pay. And it'll hold you bound certainly longer than you're willing to stay there. When God gives you an out, you better take it then. Let tomorrow deal with tomorrow. Amen. And he makes a crazy decision to let the frogs remain overnight. What about the people? What about his other leaders and his politicians? What about all of them? What about the little children who are going through the same thing that they are going through? And church, the decisions that we make has domino effects. And that's why we have to be very careful of the things that we decide upon, because I know we say, well, I ain't heard nobody but me. That's a lie. That's a lie. He makes a decision, and he keeps Egypt under the abundance of the frogs for one more night. But then finally, there's a tragic development that takes place, because in 12 through 15, after Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died. They died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled up into heaps, and the land reeked with them. When Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. As soon as there was relief. He went right back to doing the same old thing that he's always done. Are we not guilty of that? Lord, if you just deliver me today, hear my right hand to God. I promise, God. I promise. I won't do that again. And as soon as a little bit of relief comes, you right back to doing that same old thing all over again. He makes a tragic development here. As soon as he sees that the frogs are gone, but you know, I thought at first read that the frogs would all just disappear, but the frogs just died wherever they were. Just dead. In your house, on your beds, in your kitchen, in your living room, in your man cave, in your car, in the garage, out in the street, just dead. And the text said they reeked, stinking, dead frogs everywhere, everywhere. Everybody now has become a garbage man and woman, because you got to scoop up a lot of dead frogs, just stinking, man. And as Pharaoh smelt the stench and looked out over all this stuff, I wasn't there, y'all. But I have a theory. When things didn't turn out the way Pharaoh wanted them to turn out, Pharaoh blamed God. Yeah. He blamed God. Now, the text don't say that. I'm not trying to exegete it, mean read what I want into it, but just holy sanctified imagination, all right? Pharaoh say, who is he? You gonna send all these frogs in my country and just gonna leave them like this? And just gonna stink up everything? And think you gonna walk away with your hands clean? I ain't gonna let these people go. Frogs dead now. I'll get some crews and we'll clean up the frogs, but I ain't going to let these people go. I don't care what you say. I don't believe that God is God. Anyway, this is just a result of some magic trick. I ain't going to let these people go, but I'll tell you something else I believe he did. I think Pharaoh thought ahead that if I let these people go, these former slaves, they're going to get out in the wilderness and they're going to have a campfire and they're going to tell the story of how they used to be slaves in Egypt. Here are these hopeless people, utterly powerless people that have no say-so in where they're going to live, no say-so in how they're going to live, no say-so in their work, no say-so in their education, no say-so in their mobility, no say-so in how they can improve life for themselves. And they're going to get out there and in their wilderness and they're going to say, you know what God did? God took some despicable frogs and he reduced the most powerful man that we've ever known down to his knees, to where he became dependent upon Moses, our leader, to call on the God of ours. And Pharaoh said, if you think I'm going to let that happen, God, you got another thing coming. And his heart became hardened and he refused to let the people go. How many times do we deny God's will and purpose in our lives? Because we too become hard-hearted. Huh? How many times? How many times does the Lord allow somebody else to come and speak a word of truth in our lives, but they might not say it the way we want to hear it, and therefore we become hard-hearted and say, I don't care what it's saying, I ain't doing nothing. How often do we deny God's purpose in our lives? That once God has answered our prayers, and the outcome might not be exactly the way we thought they should have been answered. I'm sure Pharaoh was thinking that the frogs would disappear, but they died, but they're still around. And even though God answers our prayers, the residue of the mess that we've been dealing with still lingers. And because he doesn't completely clean it up the way we want it, our hearts get hard. And we too begin to rebel against the will of God. Church, don't flirt with frogs. Don't spend another second with your frogs if you don't have to. Because just like God is saying to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God is speaking to circumstances and situations in your life. Let my people go. And my people, I'm going to leave it up to you. And we too say, just like Pharaoh, okay, Lord, but tomorrow. Let me have one more night. Just one more night with my frog. Let me, Lord, and I'm talking to those who are not married, let me have one more night with that man that every chance he get, he just beat me all upside the head. Just one more night. I think in the night I might be able to change him, Lord. Just one more night. What about this thing that's just nagging at us, and we come and we bring it to the altar and we leave it to the Lord only to pick it up and take it back again. And the Lord said, now, once and for all, I can move it when you want it. Lord, just let me spend one more night with it. One more night. Let me have one more night with that thing that's causing me pain. One more night with that thing that's causing me misery. One more night with that which causes me to just shed tears uncontrollably. Just give me one more night. And I have to ask you, why not now? Why not immediately? Now, we know the story. We know it was God who caused Pharaoh's heart to get hard and hard and hard after every plague. But the Lord ain't trying to harden our hearts. He's trying to win our hearts to him. And so why hang on to your frogs? Why keep them? What good are they? They aren't taking you anywhere. They aren't benefiting you. They're not helping you to be what God wants you to be. They're not taking you in the direction where God wants you to go. So when God comes to you and say, hey, let me have your frogs, say, Lord, take it now. Don't spend another night with your frogs. And Moses says to Pharaoh, I leave it up to you. Tell me when you want me to pray. And I'll ask God to take the frogs away. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. God bless you. Tomorrow. I pray that when the Lord speaks to us, we'll be ready to move immediately. Immediately.
Thank you for listening. We believe God is up to something new here at Redemption Fellowship. And we invite you to please come and visit with us here in the beautiful city of Fayetteville, Georgia. If you would like more information, please contact us at redemptionfellowship.org. Once again, we hope that you have enjoyed today's message, and we can't wait to see you here worshiping with us.